So you all enjoyed it so much you came back again, right? Yes. And everyone sort of shuffled around as well, just to confuse me, right? It was a planned, attack. Big plan, yeah. You all huddled together and say, right, okay, let's really screw with this British guy. Cool. So we got to a point where my mouse isn't working. Okay, yeah, hang on. Blue screen of death. Okay. Why will Unity not let me do stuff? Turn it off and turn it on again, right? No shit. Right. Unity's doing some. That's what I've been doing. You can tell I use a Windows machine a lot, right? This is where the task manager breaks, and then the next thing I open to get rid of the task manager breaks, and then the next thing breaks, and goodbye. Hello, hopefully. Definitely a very good demo of the software. I think it is actually at a point now where I can do stuff with it, maybe. Yeah, cool. Okay. So, yeah, sorry about that. I'm not quite sure what happened. So, we got to a point where we had ships bouncing off of other ships and they had bounciness, and it wasn't really what I'm aiming to make. So, I reverted it back to a point before madness happened. So, basically, we now have a very simple scene. We have our background image being rendered first on the first layer. Then we've got our spaceships and blasts that's being rendered on the next layer. No pizza or pasta layers, just those two there. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take my script, so my spaceship control script that I made earlier on. I'm going to write some code into it and attach it to my ship to make it move around. If you remember, on my ship is now a, well, it's got its transform to say where it is and its rotation. It's got its sprite renderer to say what it looks like. It also has rigid body 2D with a gravity scale of 0 to basically say, do not fall out of the sky as soon as the game begins, but we can still move you via force. So I'm going to double-click on my C# script that I made earlier on. I'm going to open up, and then I'm going to write some code. I'm going to tell it to do some bits and pieces. So when you download Unity, it comes with MonoDevelop, which is a text editor. You don't have to use MonoDevelop if you don't want to. Some people then point it and use Visual Studio. I like to use Sublime. People can use Microsoft Paint. There's actually a video of someone coding in Microsoft Paint and then building a Unity project from that, which is just balmy. Why would you do that? Once MonoDevelop opens, yeah, Unity's gotten really ill or something. Come on. Yes, yeah, so when you download Unity, it comes with MonoDevelop, which is basically just Unity's text editor for it. And what it does is it automatically hooks up like autocomplete and line complete. So if you're writing, for example, Rigid, it will say, oh, do you mean Rigid Body 2D or Rigid Body 3D? It kind of like jumps down your throat to ask you what you're doing with it. And it automatically sets that all up. If you use something else, you kind of have to set it up depending on what you're using. It doesn't like it. Yeah, this has been a fun couple of minutes, right? Come on. Eventually it will get there. Okay, so I can write code, but I've got this big.
Can we use Visual Studio?
Yeah, you can use Visual Studio. So, yeah, let's do that. Go away. Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Right, so if you want to use a different text editor, you could just right-click and then just open with, or you can go to File, oh no, Edit. Hang on, it's somewhere else because I'm used to a Mac. Oh yeah, so I'm used to going like Unity External Tools. The proper way. Yeah, so if you go underneath here and you go to external tools, you can basically tell it where you want to point it. So I could point it towards MonoDevelop, which is built in. I can browse it, and I can basically choose something else. So in this example, I can go this PC. Let's find Visual Studio. Yep, there we go. Okay, let's use 12. This one? The what? DevNV? You're not fooling me, are you? Cool, so yeah, now it will open in Visual Studio. I'm used to doing it the Mac way, so shh. So it will now open in the Visual Studio solution, and yeah. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna do a couple of things. I'm gonna set up some variables, they're all gonna be public, and basically what I'm gonna do is then I'm gonna pass in Unity through the editor, the value for those variables. So we have the here. So put your hand up if you've never written code before or script, or don't be scared, you can admit it. Okay, that's cool. Everyone else has, I'm guessing. Some people have or haven't. Some people haven't responded. Okay, that's cool, no worries. So when you open up a script in Unity, basically these are all individual classes or individual mono behaviors. So what you'll notice here is at the top, I've got a couple of namespaces. So I'm using Unity Engine, which allows me to tap into Unity's API. Using system.collections, which is just something that's happened there. Public class spaceship control, so that's the name of this particular class. as I'm using public class spaceship control, I may want to use multiple classes for multiple objects. So for example, I may want to make one called rocket behavior, which I'm going to do later on, and then attach that to every single rocket, for example. So I can use this one class across the grid for multiple things. It also gives you a couple of preset functions in Unity. So the first one's void start. So void start is particularly useful if you want to use this for refilling health, or you are, setting up enemies. So void start basically says when this script comes into play, or when this object is now created, basically these are the setup bits and pieces. So position it, move it somewhere, do all these, fun things. Update, however, runs every single frame. So whereas start is triggered once when the object is in the game, so basically as it appears, refill its health, tell it to go do this, this enemy is over here. Void update basically loops through and checks it every single frame. It's basically like a ticker you would make in Flash customly. Unity already has an update function built in, which every frame it loops through all this code, so checking for inputs, and then it goes to the top and then loops through the code again, goes to the top, loops through the code again, and so on and so forth. So void start and void update. There's a couple of other functions, but I'm probably not going to use them. There is void late update, which basically fires after the update has run each frame. There's void awake, which is when the scene is loaded. There's a couple of others. I'm going to be incredibly lazy and just get rid of all of them. So I'm going to start from scratch. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make a variable I'm going to use. So in this case, I'm using an Italian keyboard. So I had to look for where all the buttons are. So I'm just going to make the most simple thing in the world, a public variable. So by the fact it's public means I can call it from other scripts. I can say on this script over here, go to this function and do this particular action. Next thing is the type of variable. So in this case, a float. So this will be a number with like a decimal point in it, and then the name for that float. But as well as making it public so that other scripts can access it, what you'll notice is if I go back into Unity, it will basically recompile the script automatically for you. If I want to take this script and then attach it to an object to say this object now does all the things from this script, I can just select it and I can drag and drop it onto whatever I want. So in this case, I'm going to drag and drop it onto the spaceship. And what you'll notice under the spaceship is as well as its renderer, its physics and things like that, we now have spaceship control script basically telling us everything we want to do with the spaceship. So basically with these scripts, they're kind of like component-based underneath the object, so you can actually reference different things. And we can set this number here. So those of you that have written code, you've probably had designers come in and they start to, muck around with your code and break it and do all sorts of really horrible things. Well, you don't have to have that anymore. What you can do is you can expose your variables that you want to be exposed, so in this case, the speed. But using private, you can also hide... using private, basically public will expose it in the editor, private will hide it from the editor. So if I go back into Unity, what you'll notice is it'll recompile the scripts, bring it all in. You'll notice we have a public variable and a private variable. And then if I select the spaceship, basically the spaceship will have script is on there and its speed value is set. So I can go into here and I can change this. I could say speed will now be 30. I can then test run it. I could also go speed will actually be 200. I could then test run that, for example. So basically, all I'm doing is I'm allowing the designer to come in, use this friendly, nice and easy interface, and basically play around with the different variables and settings to basically do different things. I'm going to leave that at 10 for the moment, because I haven't told my speed to do anything. And I'm not going to set a max speed either. In fact, I'm going to change this to be force. So now, when I've changed the name to force, it'll recompile it. Right, there we go. Okay, so now we have force. We're going to apply a force to our ship. So let's do that. So I'm just going to use an update. So this is going to run every frame, not audio velocity. I normally script in Sublime and don't set it up to avoid hassle such as this. Okay, so where are the... Right, Italian keyboard. Whereabouts are the parentheses? Copy and paste. Everyone close your eyes. Hey, okay, cool. Old school. Hey, okay, no one saw that, right? Yeah. Oh, I changed that to void as well. Okay, cool, right, we got there eventually. It's been a fun journey. Sweet. So I'm going to set up a void update, because what I want it to do is every single frame, I want it to register what type of input I'm having. So I'm going to do the most simple thing in the world and fake a joystick. So I'm going to write float h equals input.getAxis speech marks. Yeah, there we go. Horizontal. Cool. So what I'm doing here is I'm accessing the input class, which is kind of like a global class. I'm getting the axis of horizontal. So in Unity, we have a built-in input system, which I'll show you right now. So if I go into Unity, and you know when I showed you at the beginning, all those different asset files, like physics and things like that? Basically, I'm going to show you where you can edit all these and play around with some background bits and pieces in the engine. So if I go to Edit, Project Settings, I have all these different things I can play around with. I could go into the Physics 2D, for example, and I can play around with Physics 2D to say, you know, what the default material is. Is everything in default to bouncy, position iterations, velocity iterations, what collides against what, and things like that. I don't want to play around with that. Instead, I want to go to Edit, Project Settings, Input. And here, I can now pre-set up a load of inputs. But we're very kind, and we basically give you some already. So if you open up the horizontal input, we're going to give that input a name, so in this case, horizontal. And then we can give it negative and positive buttons. So this is going to act like a joystick. So if I have my negative button going to my left and then my positive going towards my right, basically, when no button is pushed out of those two, it sits at zero. Whereas if I tilt it to the left, basically, it's going to go from zero to minus one. If I tilt the other way, it's from zero to one. So you guys have all played flight simulators. You're all, you know, you probably still have flight simulators. Yep. Everyone's, yeah, you're like, yes. Yeah, I'm too young to understand what a joystick is, so yeah, you guys probably know more than me. So you can set up a negative button, which is going to be the minus direction, positive to be the plus, so I've got left and right. Or if you're actually a true gamer, A and D. Trying to explain it to my mum didn't make sense. WASD is superior to arrow keys. And what I can do here is I can also set up the type of axis. So you can have up to 20 different joystick axes in Unity. And so, for example, you have Xbox controller, and the triggers are actually joysticks going from 0 to 1 or minus 1 to 1. It depends how you want to set it up. So you can actually say how far you're pushing that joystick down, which is cool. So if I, hang on, let me go back to that window. So what I'm doing is I'm accessing the horizontal input. I'm saying between left and right, and I'm returning a number. It's either going to be 0 or it's going down to minus 1 or it's going to go up to 1. All right, let's go to my script. So every frame, I'm going to be finding out if left is pushed or right is pushed or none is pushed. Then I'm going to do a really simple if statement. This is going to be interesting on this keyboard. How embarrassing. Okay. Okay, so close your eyes again. In the break, I'll have this all sorted. Don't you worry. What? Alt-GR square brackets. Alt-GR shift square brackets. Oh, okay. Fantastic, thank you. Control-C, Control-V seems a little quicker, but, oh, okay. I'll practice on the break. I'll just do it back and forth. So, I did try that, but then all the keys are all over the place, like trying to find a speech mark. Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to use my Mac for fear. Cool. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do a simple else if. So yeah, this is incredibly low-level stuff, and it's taking me ages to write out. Right, so what is it? Alt-GR, Shift, and... Hey, okay, cool. Cool. Less than... Oh, right, yeah, sorry. Hey, okay, cool. I'm going to practice this keyboard. I should have practiced it at lunch. Cool. So what I'm going to do is I'm basically going to say if I push, if h is less than 0, so it's going to the left, or if h is greater than 0, so it's going to the right, I'm going to do something. So in this case, I'm going to go rigid body 2D dot add force, and then I'm going to do something with that force. So in this case, basically, I'm going to say that, and I'm going to give it two things. So I'm going to give it a particular direction. So in Unity, you can use vector 2 or vector 3. So vector 2 basically allows you to position whether you're going left, you're going right, or you're going up or down within X and Y. Vector 3 basically allows you to say if you're going left, right, up, down, forward, or back. So I can say, instead of setting up, oh, X is left and so on and so forth, or positive X is left and whatever, instead I can go vector 2 dot left, or instead it's actually right with a minus in front of it. Okay, don't ask. There's a big internal thing. Lots of arguments have happened over this. Okay, cool. So what I'm doing here, I got there eventually, is I'm basically saying rigidbody 2D, so I'm referencing the rigidbody component, and I'm doing something with it. So if I wanted, every time I push left, I could go rigidbody 2D dot mass equals, I don't know, some number like that. So I can now actually, in Unity, tap into anything on my object. So if I select my, that's not going to compile because I didn't put a semicolon. But if I wanted to, I could say, when I click this particular thing, change something here, I can then do that. I could say, every time I push spacebar, my ship changes color completely. Every time I push spacebar, my ship changes sorting layer. So basically, you can actually access anything in here on our ship just by referencing the component and then what it is about the component you want to change. So, yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm going to rigidbody. And I'm adding a force onto it. And what it's going to do is it's going to take on the mass, and it's going to take on the drag and those things, and apply a force in a particular direction. So if I... I'm not even going to attempt that. Well, hey, sleight of hand. So, and got rid of that. So basically, if I push right, it's going to go rigid body, add a force to the right, and multiply it by whatever force I want. If it's left, it's the other way. So those of you that are pro programmers or pro... grammars, you'll be like, yeah, whatever, I could have probably done that in like one line of code, what are you doing? Those of you who haven't scripted before, you'll be like, sweet, I can now access anything I want, really. So now that I saved that, I'll go back into Unity, wait for it to compile, which it now has. I can then set a force. So currently the force is at 0, so someone give me a force. A number, any number. 1. Pushing the boat out. So let's go with 1. So now when I hold right, basically it's going to keep applying a force. It's so slow. So when I let go of my finger, because my ship has no drag on it, it's basically going to disappear. So we now have to like apply a drag to it, or basically tell its velocity to decrease over time. 1 is a little too pedestrian, so someone pick a different number. Did someone say 2? You're messing about, right? Okay. The famous one is someone told me 5,000. So I'm now going to multiply in a particular direction when I push an arrow key. So my ship is going to sit there, and when I push right, and when I push left, goodbye. Yeah. Okay. So I think the sweet spot. Can anyone guess what the sweet spot might be? Someone say 10. No. 100. I think that might be a little too strong, maybe. Let's have a look. So you can see with designers, they can go and they can input the numbers and sort of play around with it. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I've heard of like Twitch gaming, but come on. Yeah. Okay, that's probably a bit too much. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually set it to 15, which is the true answer. Not 1, not 5,000. 15. And then I want to apply some form of drag to my ship, because when I hit push a button, it's going to keep sliding and just keep sliding forever. I know that's what happens in space, but you know, I want it to apply some drag over time. So I'm going to set a drag of 3. So when I have it now, it should be a bit more slide a bit and then sort of like come to eventual stop. So, well, hey, there we go. So now when I let go of button, awesome. My ship is a little more ship-like. Sweet. So I can just basically go into here. I can play around with it. I can hand it over to the designer, and he can kind of like play around with these numbers and values. Another thing that you can do is you can expose all sorts of other variables. So if I said public float force, I could write public color ship color. I could say when I push left, I can then go to get component. Sprite renderer. So I'm going to get that particular component, and I'm going to say color equals ship color. So basically, whenever I push left, it's going to change the color of my ship. So I'm just getting the component. So that's another way you could do it. So I could have written sprite renderer.color equals ship color. There's two sort of different ways you could do it. So now what should happen is, well, after that's compiled, there should be like a little slot. I say should. Right, there we go. Okay, so now I can set my ship color. So someone give me a color, not pink.
Yellow.
Wow, okay. Very adamant that this ship is yellow, right? Cool, yellow. So what should happen now is when I run the game, whenever I push left, it's basically going to recolor the ship as yellow. So I'm basically just tapping into all these components. Yeah, there we go. And I can set it so when I go right, it turns red as well. So it's a bit like a clown ship. Yeah. So yeah, with Unity, basically you can tap into any sort of like component variable in the API. You can basically reference it all. So in terms of, a couple of people came and asked me on my lunch break, basically like, where do we go to learn the API? Is it documented somewhere? Or is it kind of just like a mystery that you sort of like just throw words at and hopefully it will work? Well, basically with Unity, we have our documentation and our scripting documentation. And when you download Unity, it comes with the entire manual already hooked up to the editor as well. So if you're on a train and you have no Wi-Fi, I'm not sure what the train's like are in Italy, but in the UK, we have no Wi-Fi on any trains, which is just madness. And you're trying to do some work, what you can do is, if I'm doing something with the sprite renderer and I think, actually, I need to look up the documentation, instead of going into search and then, I'm not going to even try it, but instead of going into search and then finding documentation and so on and so forth, every single component has a little blue book with a question mark. So if I click that, it's then going to open up the documentation. So how do I open it? Let's open it in Internet Explorer. It's going to try and open up on the web. If you're not connected to the internet, it'll basically open it up, your documentation saved on your machine. So in this case, program files, Unity, editor, data, documentation. And it's got everything about a sprite renderer, all the stuff that you want to do with it, batching, material, basically anything you want to know. And we can also go to the scripting tab, and we can then do something like, okay, so we're accessing the rigid body, so let's go to rigid body 2D. And nothing popped up. Yeah. But what you can see on the left-hand side here is we have all these different things that we can reference. So if I said, I want to know more about quaternions, let's have a look at them. Basically, you'd be able to go to the quaternion page. You can see sort of what you can do with quaternions, set from T rotation, and it basically gives some example of some code. Yeah. If I go to animation clip, basically it will show you how you can set the frame rate of something. So you can write print animation walk dot clip dot frame rate. So basically the documentation is with you wherever you go, and it's got all sorts of different examples. So yeah, you can then look through that. We also have learn tutorials, but I'll sort of talk about them a bit later on. Cool, so we've got our ship, it moves left and right. It's probably the most boring game in the world. So I'm gonna build some rockets next. So yeah, ship that moves left and right. How interesting. So let's give it some rockets, and I'm gonna do a whole bunch of stuff and then attach the rockets to that script and say, whenever you push a button, fire some rockets from this location. So I'm gonna select my rockets. I'm going to set my sprite type of my rockets between single to multiple, and I'm gonna apply it because there's multiple rockets in this spreadsheet. And I go to my sprite editor, and I have something that looks like that. So who can guess which slicing mode I'm going to use? Grid. So what I can do is if I set it to automatically slice, that's one big image of a rocket, and that seems a little too overpowered for my tiny little ship. So what I want to do is I don't want to slice things individually. What you can notice is this is more like a flipbook animation, like I was saying when I deface school property in the name of Stickman Olympics. Basically, I can go slice, set it from automatic to grid, and I can then set the size. So my sprite sheet is 96 across by 33 tall. I instantly know that it'll be 12 pixels across for each rocket and 33 tall. So when I click slice, it's then going to make a cut every 12 by 33, 12 by 33, 12 by 33, 12 by 33, so on and so forth. I've basically taken this one sprite sheet and sliced it up many, many times. And I'm gonna click apply. So after clicking apply, what you'll notice is that my rocket now has rocket 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you can actually see it. The little flame is basically flickering as I go through the individual frames. So I'm just going to do something really quickly. Yeah. So now that I have all these individual clips, I mean, this is going to be really useful for me, because what I can do is I can then take this rocket. I can drag it onto my scene and basically just drag and drop it in, which is nice and all. But when I actually run my game, they don't do anything. They currently just sit there, and it's actually quite boring. What I want to do is I want to take all those individual clips and put them into a particular animation. So I want to say these frames, this is the start, this is the end, put all these frames in as a clip of data and basically cycle through it. So this is incredibly difficult to do. All you do is you select the first one, then the last one, and then you drag them into your scene and let go. Yeah, it's that simple. Yeah, cheating. So it's going to ask me, what do you want to call this animation? We can't just call it untitled. I'll get really angry if you do. I'm going to call this rocket flying. What you'll notice is it will take the entire animation clip. We will now have our rocket within our scene. It has a sprite renderer to say how it's rendering. It also has an animator to basically have, it has a whole animation state machine to say, at this point it's flying, at this point it's exploding, and so on and so forth. So basically, my rocket is now in the game, and it will now, when I run my game, you can see in the scene view, it will actually loop through the animation. Well, hey, there we go. Cool. I'll show you what's going on behind the scenes with that. I'll just let you all marvel at the flame. Yeah. Yeah, I can tell you're getting tired of the jokes. Cool. So now that we have our rocket flying, what did that actually do? We actually selected the first frame and the last frame, dragged it in, we gave it an animation name, and you can see it's actually got an animation clip of rocket flying here. Yeah, I mean, what was the point of that? What did that actually accomplish? So if I go to Window, Animation, and I dock my animation bar. Let's just stick it there. And I select my rocket. What you'll notice is that the animation timeline down the bottom, this basically allows us to animate the rocket, and you can see how it's animating. So with this, because we have our rocket has an animation controller on it, you can see that it's actually looping through each of these frames. So those who have used After Effects or Flash before or any keyframe-based animation tool, it's very, very similar. Basically, it shows you a dope sheet of all the individual keyframes, and it shows you what you're animating. I can set the sample rate. So currently, sample rate is 12. Someone shout out a ridiculous number. 60. Did someone say 60? Yep, cool. 60. So now, instead of a sample rate of 60, it's now... instead of 12, it's now 60. So the rocket's powered by Red Bull or some form of energy drink. I could set the sample rate to be 4. So it's 4 frames a second, so it's super slow. But I'm going to leave it back to be 12. So our sample rate is at 12, and our rocket is flying. So with the animation timeline in Unity 4.3, basically it got overhauled completely. So originally you could only really animate position, rotation, and scale. So you could have a platform going that, or platform spinning, or like spinning like that, or platform getting bigger and smaller. That's basically it. It's the most boring animation system of all time. You'd have to go off and do something in some other program and then bring it in, which you can do. So with Unity 4.3 and the inclusion of these 2D tools, basically they overhauled the animation system, so you can now animate anything in the inspector, right? So I could animate the color of my rocket over time cycling through disco colors if I really wanted to. And I'll show you how to do that. So if I have my rocket, you can notice that it has this individual shelf saying rocket underscore zero sprite. It's saying what we're animating about it. So in this case, as you can see, as I scrub through the timeline, you can notice that the sprite slot is red, saying that it has recorded data. And you can see that it's actually changing from rocket 0 to rocket 7. It's basically instantly swapping out every single frame for that new frame. So it's like doing a flipbook. So if I wanted to animate anything else, I can click Add Curve. It's then going to ask me some information about my rocket, like do I animate something here, or here, or here? So in this case, I want to animate my... What shall I animate? I've got about 100 things. I can animate whether it receives shadows or not over time. I can't think of a use you'd have for that. I want to animate the color. What that'll do is it'll input the shelf of the color. I can set the RGB value. So I could say at this frame, RGB is 111. At this frame, the RGB value, I could set something here and be really boring, or I could set something here. So let's say green. So what you'll notice is the first keyframe, it will take whatever it was. And then the next keyframe, as you animate it, will basically instantly put in that tween. So now, my rocket is phasing from white to green, and then it's repeating back to the start. And that's just by editing values in the inspector on the right there. So it's basically kind of a way of making it a lot more fun, a lot more straightforward for both programmers and artists to animate the same thing. So where this goes from white to green, I could say, actually, instead of white, seeing as you were very adamant that I set something to be yellow to green over time. So it's basically pulling in that tween instantly, which is nice. So that's great. But what if I don't want to click Add Curve, go through this list, pick another thing, so on and so forth? What I can do is, with the auto keyframe button on, so this record button, I can actually just do stuff in the editor and it will automatically keyframe. So if I set at this point, I want it to be rotated 90 degrees, what you'll notice is it's instantly keyframed in that particular animation. So I'm just dragging my playhead to where I want it to be, so in this case here, doing some form of change, so let's make it upside down, let's also make it grow in size. Let's also rotate it sideways. So now I have my rocket. Yes, very funky. Cool. So yeah, basically I can animate whatever I like. So if I had a script on my rocket, I could actually animate a value of its speed increasing over time, for example. I could do all sorts of really sort of neat things. I could set my car shadows, do all sorts of really mad stuff. So I now have my rocket flipping, which is nice. That's not necessarily what I want, though, because if I start firing lots of rockets and they all sort of flip on themselves and face back at my player, that's going to be a horrible game. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to stop recording. I'm going to select a shelf, so I don't want its position to change. Delete that. I don't want its rotation to change. Delete that. I don't want its scale to change. Delete that. Instead, I want it to cycle through the frame, cycle through the flames on the frames, and basically say it starts off at yellow. It then reaches green at some point, and then by the end of it, it then goes back to yellow. So what I can do is I can select the first frame, copy that. Last frame, copy that. So now my animation should be going from yellow to green to yellow. And it's sort of like fades. So as I'm firing them, they're like disco rockets, you know. As well as this dope sheet, so some of you animators, you're probably thinking like, oh, you guys are mad. Why is there no curves? Why can't I edit the curves? This is crazy. Well, basically, on the animation timeline, it's very, very small, and it's at the bottom. Hang on. Let me... What you'll notice at the bottom here is we basically have the dope sheet, and we have curves. So if we go to curves, what that will allow me to do is it will basically allow me to select my renderer, and it allows me to then actually animate the curve so I can make it ease in and ease out and so on and so forth. So I could say, instead of sort of, you know, reaching down here, that's a bit too steep. So it basically stays yellow and then instantly drops. What I can do is I can set that to free smooth and basically play around with that so I can actually level that off. And I can do the same thing here as well. So basically, with animating the curves, you can set that, so sort those up. You can then go back to the dope sheet if you want it to be a bit more neat and organized. So basically, yeah, you can animate pretty much anything you want. So now I should have a nice... yeah, rocket sort of throbbing from yellow to green, to yellow, and also the sort of like tail spinning. Cool. Right, okay, so this is ultimately useless at the moment without our rocket actually doing something. So what I want to do now is I want to add some physics to it, a script to it, a collider to it, and eventually an audio source to it. So I'm actually adding a lot of things. So I'm going to go add component, physics 2D, and I'm going to add a rigid body. And then on that rigid body, I don't want my rockets, as soon as I fire them, to then fall into my spaceship and blow it up, because that would be pretty... you know, instant friendly fire. So I'm going to set its gravity to be zero. So I want my rockets, as soon as I fire them, to then apply a force. So it basically fires up and then it shoots off. So they're going to appear, and then I'm going to move them by force on a script. The other thing is that my rockets will just pass through anything I fire them through because they don't have a collider. So whereas beforehand I showed you a circle collider and a box collider, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a completely different collider. So if I use the circle collider, you'll notice that will be completely and utterly useless for my rockets. They'll basically be round balls, they'll tumble, they'll spin. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to take my circle collider and tell it to go away. My box collider will be pretty useless as well. So what you'll notice is that my box is drawn around the outside edge. So yeah, that's a bit naff. I'm going to get rid of that. And I'm going to use another collider, which will probably blow your minds and wake you up. So I'm going to go physics 2D, and I'm going to select polygon collider. So you're probably thinking, that looks like a load of crap. What's that all about? There's basically this odd edge here, and you know, this is a bit of a joke. Well, what the polygon collider does is it takes the sprite, it samples the sprite, and it tries and makes a collider with a best fit around it. I know this isn't particularly best fit, and there's probably other sprites which have better fits. But what the polygon collider allows you to do is it allows you to actually edit the collider how you want. So if I hold shift, what you'll notice is as I hover my cursor over a particular point on the collider, it will basically highlight green. I can then select it and basically sculpt my collider how I want it to be. So I can actually go click and drag. It's incredibly difficult to do on trackpad as well. So I can basically click it and drag it and basically position my collider how I want it to be. By editing existing points. So that's useful, but it wouldn't be that useful unless I was able to click and add individual points, because currently I'm editing them. I'm currently taking the ones that are preset, and moving them. But what I can do is I can hold my collider, hold my cursor over along this edge, and then basically kind of stretch out and basically build up a collider. I know this doesn't look like it, but yeah, calm down. And what I can do is I can actually construct my collider how I want it to look. So basically, I've now made a collider, which kind of is like a little cave or something. So you can edit existing points and then add existing points. So what you can also do is you can hold control and remove existing points. So control allows you to then basically kind of click it and peel back each of the individual points. So you can click, click, click. If you play League of Legends, you'll like this bit. No one laughs and no one here plays League of Legends. So basically, you can then sculpt around the collider. So I'm just going to make a simple collider edge around my ship, around my rocket. Hopefully, I don't mess it up. And then I can just delete individual points. Yeah, so now I've basically made a really simple shape around my rocket. And then if, for example, when my asteroid clips that corner edge here, basically it will then detect that collision as opposed to a big box around the whole thing. So yeah, the polygon collider is pretty useful for that. If you look in the bottom right-hand corner, we have our vertices count. So basically, the polygon collider also tells you how many vertices that it has. So as I add individual points, what you'll notice is the vertices count is going to increase. So you can basically see how complex your collider is. Obviously, if you have a polygon collider with 10,000 vertices points and 50,000 and they collide, that's going to be really, really bad because it's got to calculate the collision between each of those points. So using that, keeping an eye on that vertices count is going to be very, very useful. So my rocket, it has a sprite renderer, has an animator, has a rigid body, has a polygon collider. So next it needs a script, because currently, when I run my game, it does absolutely nothing. Currently it just cycles through, goes yellow, green, yellow, and it has a collider on it. What we now need to do is we now need to fire it. We are going to, so before we take a break in like, I know, like 10 minutes or so, basically write a script to move our rocket upwards, and then on our ship we'll basically write a script to basically create rockets each time. So now that we have this rocket, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make another script. It's going to be really simple. No, not a JavaScript. Blame trackpad. Okay, it's called Rocket now. Has anyone got any questions so far, or is that all make? Go for it. Yeah, so you could animate things by scripts. You can one cool thing you can do is you can actually access animation curves. So you can set up. Oh, go away. So what I could do here is I could set up a. Animation curve, and call this a curve. And what that will allow me to do when I go back into Unity is basically allows me to, underneath where I could set up the color and things like that, it now gives me a curve, so I can make a linear curve and then basically apply that to a number. So I could say, if you're doing like a LERP, so you're making one thing go from A to B, you can then use and apply animation curve to that. So if you notice here, I can now set a curve, so I could say, I could set up that curve and then basically apply that to a particular number over a certain amount of time. So yeah, you could, so anything that you can do in the editor, you can pretty much do all by script, so set up animation. You can even create keyframes along a point on an animation clip that you create all by code. So you can create the clip by code and then place individual keyframes at random points. So a lot of people do that for, they take pre-existing like walking data, and what they do is they kind of like change it depending on the character. Because obviously, an old lady who's like 80 and a athletic gentleman who's like 25, for example, they're not both going to walk at exactly the same speed in your game. So what they do is they take the same animation clip and they say to the old lady, slow it down, whereas for the chap, make it faster. So you can basically access anything in this animation like via script and set all these things. So short answer, yes. Cool. So I'm going to go to my rocket. So I'm going to do two things for my rocket, and it's going to be super, super simple. So the first thing is I'm going to set up a speed for it. I want to be able to play around my rocket speed because I don't know if it will be too fast or too slow. Next thing is I can either do this in start or update, is I'm going to manually edit the velocity of the ship, of the rocket. So I'm going to say rigidbody.velocity equals vector2.y times speed. Oh, vector2.up, sorry. So basically what I'm doing is I'm saying edit the velocity of upwards trajectory and then by the speed. So like everyone else, I made a Flappy Bird clone. Has anyone here made a Flappy Bird clone? Or I know you did. You showed me it earlier on. You guys know what Flappy Bird is, right? Yeah, right. Make 50 grand a day. It's so hard for some people, isn't it? Yeah. So what I did is, I had the problem is, as the bird falls, he picks up gravity and then eventually hits the floor. So what I had a problem with was hitting spacebar would basically apply force upwards. So, you know, gravity, apply force upwards. But the trouble is he travels so fast, when you go add force upwards, basically, it was fighting against his speed. And he was kind of like, as he fell, he kind of went whoop, and then sort of like died anyway. And that was a horror, even mean a Flappy Bird. So I basically did a really bad hack. This is when everyone goes home and does this now. Where I basically say rigidbody2d.velocity equals vector2.0. So basically, every time I hit spacebar, I reset his velocity to zero and then just made him like jump up from that point. So yes, tricks. So basically, I went in and edited his velocity to make a flappy clone or flapunity or whatever. I don't know. Cool. So now that I've got my rocket scripts, I'm going to set my rocket. I now need to attach that script onto my rocket. Come on. Oh, you notice. Oh, okay. So it disappeared. So what you'll notice sometimes is the bottom right-hand corner of the editor, when you write any code and you come back in, basically there'll be like a little mini loading wheel to basically re-import all the code. It checks if it's all right. So if I fluffed it up and spelt something wrong, basically Unity in the bottom left-hand corner will normally tell you when you've done goofed. It will basically say, this was wrong, and it will actually take you to the exact line of code if you double-click on it, which is quite amazing. So if I take my rocket script, attach it to my rocket, I can now tell my rocket to have a particular speed. So someone give me a speed, any speed. 20. Sensible. I was expecting one or a million. yeah. So now my rocket should now move upwards with a speed of 20 when my game runs. Where'd it go?
One million.
That's going to make all the difference. Okay, yeah, so there's my rocket. There we go, and it's actually traveling. So I can actually change, and you can, if you click F, you can focus into something within the game scene if you select it. If you double click it, it'll basically lock it. So if you're making a shooting game and your bullets are going through walls, what you can do is you can pause it, you can zoom in on the bullet in the scene and then watch it as it travels like through the scene. I could even go stop and I can go step, 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 step. So you can see this bullet going yeah, which is quite interesting. So I've got my rocket. And it's traveling at a speed of one. So each of these individual sort of cubes is kind of like one. So every second, it's traveling the equivalent of one of them. So then actually, whilst my game is running, I can change these values. So let's say it's going to travel at the speed of 5 units per second, which is nice. Let's say, what was it, 1 million? One. Okay, it's traveling so fast that the grid has kind of stopped. But you can notice the Y value is now at 1,300, 400, 500. Yeah, it's traveling so fast that it's just miles and miles away. Oh, there we go. World's fastest rocket. That was, I think, 10. Actually, let's try 5 so it's slow enough to see the flames. So I've now set up my rocket. I'm all happy with this. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to make this a duplicate. So I'm going to make it a master object. So obviously what I don't want to do is, if I'm using hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rockets, I don't want every single time I need to use a rocket, go set up the rocket, set up the animation, set up the animation, set up the script, and then sort of, and then do the next one, and so on and so forth. What I want to do is I want to make one rocket and duplicate it thousands and thousands and thousands of times when I push a button. Or just every time I push a button once, because that's more sensible. Yeah, when I started using Unity, I used to just make things that I pushed a button, it would spawn 5,000 cubes, and they'd go flying all over the place, all with lens flares and stuff. My dad's laptop was not happy. Yeah. Each one with an individual light on it, 5,000 lights just suddenly emitting and just blowing, yeah. Dropping from 60 frames a second down to one. Yeah, not good. I found it hilarious, though. Yeah. So now that I've got my rocket, I've built everything up about it, I'm now going to turn it into a thing called a prefab. So a prefab basically is short for a prefabrication. So what we're doing is we're saying, we've authored up this object, we can now make this something we're going to use many times. So you think a coin in Mario, a bullet in a game, an enemy, they don't rebuild them each time. They basically tend, like Call of Duty tends to have like, I don't know, maybe 10 different enemy skins, and then they just swap and change them, for example. I think one of the Legend of Zelda games basically had the same exact enemy. They just changed the color of his armor each time they had him. So they used one prefab and kind of tweaked different things about him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new folder. Call this folder prefabs. And here's another really difficult thing on how to turn this rocket in my hierarchy into a saved prefab asset. You drag and drop it. And what that will do is it will basically take my rocket, and what you'll notice is I am incredibly brave, and I'm going to delete this rocket in my hierarchy. I've done that before without doing the prefab thing, and oh boy. Yeah. So now what you'll notice is in my project folder, where all my assets are, I have my rocket with all its information, basically kind of like saved away for a rainy day for me to then actually use and then fire off and do things. So I can use this multiple times. So if I'm making, I don't know, something like a... If I'm making a scene, I could then, you know, set up prefabs for all my individual buildings, set up prefabs for all my individual enemies, coins. I could basically place them all somewhere within my scene, like so. And now I can basically play my game. And all those rockets are basically all duplicates of that one master object. And they all have the same script. They all sort of have all the colors. Okay, where are they? Yeah, there we go. Oh yeah, the rockets collided, so basically they pushed each other out of the way with their colliders. That's pretty good fun, yeah. What I can also do is, as all of these are coming from this top object, if I said, these rockets are too small, I do not like them this small, I can go to my master copy, and I can basically say, reset the size and reset the rotation. Okay, the rotation doesn't work, but yeah. So I can now have massive, massive rockets just by editing that top object. I don't have to select all of them. Oh boy. Yeah. So basically, all the rockets' colliders are kind of like pushing them out of the same space. And then in runtime, I can even sort of edit this. So I can, yeah. Cool. And one more thing before we have a quick break. As these are all coming from this master object, each of the prefabs can have their own independent data. So what they're doing is they're inheriting from this master object, but then they're going on and doing their own bits and pieces. So it's like, my mum's a nurse, but I didn't go into the nursing profession, for example. But I have verbal diarrhea like she does. She's not here, so it's okay for me to say that. So for example, this rocket here, I could set its size to be 10 by 10, and that's going to act independently from all the other rockets, even though they're all coming from the same object. So, yeah, so basically you're cloning from one, but then you're sort of like changing them independently. So now, oh boy. And if I wanted to be so bold, this is the last thing before a quick break, I could take my physics bouncy material and apply it to all my rockets, so they'll all bounce off of each other now. When it begins, I have no idea what's about to happen. This will be interesting. Oh, that wasn't as amazing as I thought it would be. I could yeah, so basically they're all told to go upwards, which is why, you know, the bounciness isn't working. So let's get rid of the bounciness. So yeah, basically I've now taken that one rocket and I've basically made you know, loads. So what I'm going to do next after the break is call that rocket by script. So every time I hit a button, it basically like creates that rocket and flies up. I'll also do some asteroids, do some explosion effects, do some animations, some audio, by the end of the day. And then I will build to devices and stuff and maybe an Xbox One. No, I'm kidding. Cool. So if we take like a, is it 10 minutes? It's 25 minutes. Cool, awesome. Thank you. I can learn the key. I can learn the Italian keyboard where everything is, right? That's more than enough time for me to take some quizzes and stuff. Cool, thank you. Yeah, I'll see you guys in like 25 minutes or so.